This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, June 9th, 2023. I'm Caleb Brown. Oklahoma now is moving ahead with a charter school run by a religious organization. Charter schools are, of course, public schools, so how did we get to a point where something that would have been unthinkable just a few decades ago is now moving forward? And what do religious groups believe they'll get out of submitting their own educational preferences to regulation from the state? Cato's Neil McCluskey comments.
So, the best place to begin, if we're going to talk about school choice, modern day, charter schools and private school choice programs, is about 1989. Because in 1989, there really were no modern day school choice programs. You had your town tuitioning in Vermont and Maine, but there weren't any charter schools and there weren't any voucher programs. Later we get tax credit programs and education savings accounts, but the basic idea of somehow publicly connected funding letting you go to a private school. But in 1990, we basically have the beginning of both of these things, the first charter schooling and the first voucher programs. And what they represented was people largely based on kind of academic outcomes measures. Were kids learning to read? Were they learning to do math? And often, did they just feel safe in their schools? This drove a school choice movement that we see really begin in 1990 of people saying, you've got to have alternatives to the school you're assigned to by your address. Again, usually for pretty pragmatic reasons, either you didn't feel safe in your school or you weren't learning the basics or both. And they tended to be focused on helping low-income, usually urban communities. Well, over time, we've seen, first of all, school choice grow a great deal, both charter schools and private school choice. I think it's 45 states now or 46 have charter school laws. They don't all have a lot of charter schools. Some of them have a lot of regulations. But the idea of charter schooling was supposed to be kind of a public-private hybrid. So you'd have a public school, but some sort of private group would run these kind of autonomous schools. And the way they'd be held accountable is not by lots of rules and regulations, because they were supposed to be innovative. They were supposed to be nimble. But by first, would they be able to attract enough students who would bring a certain amount of public money with them? Could they attract enough of them that they'd be financially viable? And then they would have a charter, basically a contract with some public entity, usually a school district, but it could be a state board. It could be in some places a college or university, but that would kind of lay out, you know, in 5 years or 7 years, the school would accomplish X, Y, and Z, and they'd be able to keep their charter. They are supposed to be public schools. They have to give state tests. That means de facto, to some extent, they have to follow state standards, which control a lot of curriculum. And because they're public, the assumption was always they couldn't be religious. Running parallel to this is the growth in private school choice. Today, at least the time I'm speaking, there are about 26 states, I think, or 27 that have private school choice programs. And they grew, again, largely because people wanted safer, more effective schools. But increasingly, we saw an emphasis on, we also want something different. In particular, and this has long been a part of demands for school choice historically, is we want to have religious schools. Many people think religious values are important to them, and that cannot be a part of public schooling. So they wanted access to private religious schools. And we've also, should I mention, a lot of increase in homeschooling. A lot of homeschooling started at religious people saying, we want a thoroughly religious education that we don't feel like we can get in any school. Although that has also then grown beyond religion for people saying, hey, the schools don't teach the history I want, or they are not responsive to the calendar I want to follow, or something like that. But we've moved beyond this focus on academics and just safety. And I should say academics mean test scores. And that's in large part because federal policy moved away from that too. But people were getting tired of education reduced to a test score. And so we then also had this growth and this succession of Supreme Court cases that increasingly said, it is discrimination against religion not to treat religious people or religious institutions in the same way you treat non-religious schools, institutions. Most of this has dealt with private schools. Zelman v. Simmons-Harris in 2002 was the federal government or the Supreme Court said, hey, it's not a violation of the federal constitution for people to choose religious schools with vouchers as long as it's their free choice. You get into Trinity Lutheran around 2017 that said, hey, you can't have a program that says anybody can get, in this case, it was basically stuff for your
shredded
playground.
Tires.
That's right. So when the kids fall, they bounce right back up. But they said you can't prohibit a religious institution from getting that benefit just because it's religious. You have to treat them the same as anyone else. And during this time, charter schools, some charter school supporters, who are also typically school choice supporters broadly, said, well, isn't it discrimination against religious entities that we say anybody can apply to have a charter school except somebody who wants to have a religious, devotionally religious charter school? And some of this was discussed a little bit in some Supreme Court cases, usually in dissent. And it makes some sense, saying, well, isn't it discrimination against religion that you can't have a religious charter school, but you can have any other kind of charter school? The hang-up there is, but these are technically public schools, and government decides which school can exist and which can't. But they had been sort of advancing this for several years, and then Oklahoma, the previous state attorney general, I believe it was, actually put out a assessment saying it is constitutional and actually constitutionally required to allow religious organizations to apply for charters, and they can't be denied because they would have a religious charter school. This was actually then sort of revoked by this AG's replacement. And then in April, the state charter school board said, nope, you can't have this. What was applied for was a Catholic virtual school, St. Isidore Academy, I think it was being called. But then there was a change in the makeup of that charter board, and they just now have approved, saying, yes, this virtual charter school that would be open to anybody in the state of Oklahoma, religious charter school, is okay. Well, clearly, the next thing we're going to see is court cases over this already. Organizations, I think the ACLU, I think, can't remember who the other groups are, but Freedom from Religion Foundation is probably one of them, have already said, look, we are going to sue because you cannot have a religious public school. And of course, the people who support religious charters say, well, but they're not really public schools. They're largely private, and it's discrimination against religion not to allow them.
And here we are.
Yes. So now we're at the point where we're really going to have this debate in earnest about whether or not you can have religious charter schools and whether or not you should. What's interesting is there is a clear divide among school choice supporters about whether or not you should have religious charter schools, and a divide among charter school supporters. So the first divide is actually kind of one we've had for a while, which is, because charter schools are technically public schools, many more free market-oriented school choice supporters have always been kind of leery of them, thinking they're at best a half measure, where you say, okay, well, you're allowed to have a little more choice and a little more freedom for educators within public schooling. That's what charter schools were supposed to be. And one of the problems with that is it's not enough choice, but we also have evidence that those schools were taking students who otherwise would have gone to private schools, schools that do have the autonomy to do what they want, to be religious, to be openly religious, to be openly not religious, whatever they want to do. But people thought, look, I don't have to pay anything for this charter school. It's like a private school, only it doesn't charge me anything. Private schools still have to charge people. And for the most part, even now, people don't have public money that follows them. And so charter schools were really hurting, to a large extent, private schools. So already we're having this debate. Now the worry is the one thing you couldn't get for sure in charter schools was religion. And so people would go to religious private schools if they wanted that. Now the fear is, well, you can have these religious schools in that are public schools that are, you know, seem to be free to the family, but they'll have lots of restrictions put on them. First and foremost, that they have to follow the state curriculum or state standards because they will be subject to state testing. And so we would push even more people, pull them from the more autonomous schools to less autonomous. So that's one policy concern. And then the big question is, well, how religious would those schools be allowed to be? And will the charter school boards either be biased against religious schools, be biased for religious schools, or even if they're not biased, be constantly subject to accusations of bias, either from people who don't want the religious charter school or people who do?
I think you and I think similarly on this, which is I've never had a particularly strong, favorable opinion of charter schools. It's choice. It's not a lot of choice necessarily, because there are a lot of the same restrictions on public schools that exist on charter schools. My question in our current environment is, what do these faith groups that are trying to launch these charter schools, why do they think what they're doing is preferable? Why is a religious charter school preferable to a religious private school? And obviously this probably varies by state, but why is it better? Why do they view this as a good thing?
I think that they, first of all, I don't know how many religious entities want to have charter schools. We do know for sure that the religious diocese that I think is for the entire state of Oklahoma wants to have their virtual school as a charter option. There are probably other religious entities who would like to be able to create charter schools, but I don't know how many there are, how widespread they are. My guess is for the ones that do want it, it's because they want access to more money. And charter schools, typically, you can get more money to follow a student than in a school choice program. And there just are more charter school programs, and they're more expansive, in part because people who oppose school choice were more willing to accept the compromise of, well, these are really public schools, and they can't be religious, and that's good. And so I think it's more about stability, especially financial stability. They think it's much better for us if we can have the much firmer financial footing of a charter school than hope we get some sort of school choice program. What's interesting is Oklahoma, you know, just days before this most recent decision to allow this charter school, they passed a universal school choice program, a tax credit that it doesn't matter what your income is or whether you're zoned for a public school that doesn't do well. Any family, in theory, can get this tax credit. Now, there are limits to how much the tax credit can be taken, but it's not limited based on the characteristics of your family. And it's also, I believe, refundable. So if you don't have a big enough tax burden, you can still get, you know, the help that's supposed to go with it. So Oklahoma has actually now moved into the private school choice camp. But I don't know that that had any impact on the diocese effort to get this virtual charter school. And certainly what we see, especially early on, is when there's a new school choice, private school choice program, it quickly gets opposed by lawsuits. Sometimes there are referenda to try and stop it. So I think it's probably reasonable for the diocese to say, well, that's good, but we can't count on it right now the way we could count on charter school.
And that is another concern of mine. I have children. They're attending school. And I guess my bigger concern is the diversity of the different kinds of education that you could potentially send your children to receive. And it seems to me that moving, having religious groups move into charter schools and voluntarily placing themselves under a lot of the similar restrictions as regular public schools, that has the potential to sort of water down the diversity of education options.
Yeah, that is a serious concern of you begin to standardize all the options, whereas if you had moved fully or even partially to a system of money following kids to whatever school they choose, that's the way you increase the diversity of options. Chartering is a way to begin to restrict how diverse your options are. And there are people who are actually, you know, they're in favor of charter schools. They're in favor of private school choice. They like the idea of school choice in all the forms they can get it, who are really hesitant about supporting this effort to have religious charter schools because they want to have a maximum diversity of schools and not see every school kind of brought into one basic mold. And interestingly, they're the charter school groups, many of whom say, look, this isn't right. We are public schools, and this will sort of make us into private schools. And we don't want to be involved in that. And we don't want to be involved in the fights that will, you know, go with our being sort of private schools and sort of public. I mean, they already are. But they're trying to avoid that. There's a case heading the Supreme Court. I think it may have already been heard, but in North Carolina, about a charter school that had a dress code. And a dress code where girls were required to dress differently from boys. They made some statement about it as we support chivalry and things that are not always, you know, that popular with everybody. And it's being sued under discrimination law. And they're saying the reason we can sue you is you're a public school and you can't have that sort of discriminatory dress code. And that school is saying, no, we're a charter school, so we're basically private, so we can have that dress code. Now, we actually want schools to be able to have as many different policies, you know, as they like, generally speaking. And the way you express your agreement or disagreement is you enroll that school or you don't. But charter schools are kind of hopelessly in this sort of this gray area between public and private. And I think that many charter school people would like to firmly establish that they are public schools so that they don't have to keep having these sorts of battles over and court cases over, well, what really is the character of your school and what does that enable you to do?
So, I mean, bottom line, what is your view of I know you're not super duper super fan of charter schools in general, but what is your view of this move? We're sort of at the beginning of the move, right? The idea that religious organizations would be moving into charter schools. What is your view of that?
Right. The first thing I have to say is I am very sympathetic to the argument that it is discrimination against religion to say you can have any kind of charter school you want as long as it's not religious. I think that the public school system clearly discriminates against religion. That said, it sort of has to, because you also don't want public schools taking up the position of we are a specific religion and we will impose that on people because they are supposed to be government schools and you sure don't want government either pushing a particular religion or any religion or no religion. So the fact is, government schooling is inherently going to discriminate against somebody and probably lots of people based on religion, whether it's you want religion or no religion, and which religion do you want if you want some. But I think that the pro-religious charter schooling folks have a point in saying, well, why is it okay to have any other kind of charter but religious? However, I think it is clearly an entanglement with government that government decides, well, your school is okay. Your religious school is okay, but your school, maybe religious, maybe not, is not okay. That makes the governor the decider about, well, what is or is not an okay amount of religion or okay religion, or at the very least, it gives the impression of that. And that is hugely problematic. And then the broader charter school problem is one we've always had, which is that they appear to be private schools, only they are free to families. And that gives them a huge competitive advantage against actual private schools that do have lots of autonomy. And then we see those private schools losing enrollment, often going out of business, and that is a net loss for diversity in schooling.
Neil McCluskey directs the Cato Institute Center for Educational Freedom. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.